Hi, this is Cliff from the Cliff and Sharon Radio Show. Welcome to this week's podcast, where we count down five of the most impressive, interesting stories from our show this week.
Oh my gosh, there's some great stuff going on in the world, and we want to share them with you.
The following program contains language and situations which may be offensive to some people. Everything, however, was taken directly off the air.
It's go time.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Now or never. Here it comes.
Number five.
If you're a letter carrier, there are all kinds of things you have to deal with. The biggest issue, of course, stereotypically maybe, but it's true still, is dogs or animals.
Probably.
They can be vicious. Nothing, frankly, is more vicious than a freaked out fowl, though.
Apparently not. This is a little bit late for Thanksgiving, so, you know, maybe it's a preemptive strike or something, but the post office in Hillsdale, New Jersey, called 911 just the other day because of a minor crisis, and here is the call.
Oh, good police, Sergeant McLaughlin.
Hey, Sarge, this is the postmaster in Hillsdale.
Hey, he's gone.
Okay. You're not going to believe this, but I got a carrier that's being attacked by wild turkeys. Won't let him deliver the mail.
Where?
On Espawn Drive, 28 Espawn Drive.
28, okay, being attacked by turkeys.
This has been going on. It's crazy. I mean, they're actually attacking, biting. They chase the trucks, everything.
Wow.
Take a look at it.
All right, no problem. We'll send them over there.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Seriously.
That's hilarious.
Oh, no. The mailman wasn't hurt, luckily. But you've got to wonder, how much damage can a turkey do?
I remember growing up on a farm, we would have these turkeys that were 25 pounds. You got one of those things trying to peck you, and maybe two or three coming after you. All the cranberry sauce in the world is not going to help you. You know, you've got rain, sleet, snow, dark of night. I can't remember what the saying is they use for the mail, but that turkey can grind the whole system to a halt, man. That doesn't surprise me.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
Now listen very closely, because here's how it's going to go down.
Number four.
I love the technology in the James Bond movies. And frankly, if I could have an ejector seat in the car, I think that would be really cool.
Some of those things, I
think, do work. A lot of them don't, of course, especially if you try and make them yourself, right?
Oh, God. This fella, 62-year-old Simon Chaplin in England, rigged up a device to create a smoke screen. If he ever needed to make a quick escape. You've got to figure, 62 years old, you've got to figure he's probably retired, way too much time on his hands, right? And he's tinkering around in his garage, comes up with this thing. It involves pipes and pumps and a bucket of diesel fuel in his car. Like totally jerry-rigged, right? And he actually used it recently when a cop tried to pull him over for speeding. And he thought, here's my chance. I've like labored in the garage building this thing. So he activated his smoke screen. It filled the road up with a thick layer of smoke and he took off, right? So you think success. No, not success.
No.
One problem. His car kept pumping out smoke, which basically left a nice trail for the cop to follow once the first big smoke screen cleared. He just followed the trail of smoke. 5 minutes later, the cop caught up with him, and so he was in court and he got given community service to do. I just think that's hilarious. You just need to fine-tune.
Oh, my God.
Great idea. You just got to fine-tune it.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Number three.
I did a lot of work with the Girl Scouts in San Diego, California. Spectacular organization. And it's always a big deal every year to have their big push on cookie sales. Mm-hmm. In fact, they would have a huge party on the deck of an aircraft carrier and fly in the top-selling Girl Scouts from that year on a helicopter, land on the deck. I mean, it was unbelievable, right? So the motivation to sell cookies, the pressure is a lot on these kids.
It sounds like it, especially down there. Well, there's an enterprising Girl Scout in Oregon who's found an innovative way to quickly reach her cookie selling goal, catering to the munchies of pot shop customers. So this particular little girl set up shop with her aunt outside the Foster Buds marijuana dispensary in Portland, and she had a goal of selling 35 boxes, I guess, you know, one night after school or whatever.
Sure.
Well, she did that super quick, like boom, sold those 35 and more, and she even had a handmade sign there saying, "Hey, satisfy your munchies." So she's all over it, and the shop shared a photo on Instagram of this little girl and her auntie selling the Girl Scout cookies outside the store. Now, apparently, the Girl Scout organisation doesn't actually condone this, but
really?
it's not against the rules, so they can't do anything. Well, because they don't necessarily, you know, want to be drawing attention to smoking pot with, you know, young schoolgirls.
Of course.
But she got a badge out of it. I think it was the chill badge. she got a new badge. I mean, that's great.
Well, the lesson here, and I would be amazed if this doesn't kick in California, that weed is bad unless, of course, capitalism is involved. And this is brilliant. Good for her.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed.
Number two.
Okay, you and I have talked about our love of wine, but can I admit something to you?
Yeah.
I really don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I mean, you do.
I like big reds, and I cannot lie. The other wines can't deny. But the thing is, I really don't know what I'm talking about. I like wines that have a kind of an earthy finish, and I don't know how to talk wineese. That's the problem, right?
Do you describe most wines as just being grapey?
Yeah.
A little bit?
But yeah. I want people to think that I know what I'm talking
about.
You
do know a little bit about wine. I mean, we've been out. I've seen you, you know, when we've been out to dinner and you swish it around and you do all of that.
I'm faking it. I don't know what I'm doing. Why do you swish?
You are just swallowing. Are you serious?
I don't. You know, I don't know. I see people swish, so I swish.
So you...
I don't know nothing.
Well, you're pretty convincing.
Good.
Yeah, you're pretty convincing.
I've always been curious about that.
Yeah, you're pretty convincing.
This is a good question for Siri.
All right, go on. Ask it.
Siri, can anyone else other than Sharon tell that when I order wine at a restaurant that I have no idea what I'm talking about or doing?
Yes, everybody can tell you have no idea what you are talking about when you are trying to pretend that you are a wine expert and are swishing the wine around in the glass like a pretentious D-bag.
To be fair,
I think 5 people on the entire planet can actually tell the difference between wines other than being able to tell white from red. Here is how most people evaluate wine. It is using a simple one-question survey. Does the name of the wine sound French? The more French the name, the more expensive the wine is. Sure. My advice is just order the bottle of wine with a name so French that it looks like the name of a famous classical music composer.
I like that. I'm totally going to try that.
That's my job, to find out what goes on and get it to the people.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
What people?
The people.
I never heard of them.
Number one.
Hey, we're all looking for ways to save money. We'll call these life hacks. Some of them border on, should you really be doing some of these things? Some of them are pretty inventive, and obviously people are getting away with doing these things. So here's a list of things you can do, if you like, to save money.
The first one is get free breakfast whenever you want by stealing it from hotels. Most of them have a free breakfast, continental breakfast or whatever, and you don't always have to prove that you're staying there to get it. You can just walk in and start eating and pretend that you're a guest at the hotel. Get free brekkie.
See, that doesn't seem like it's really a fair thing to,
no.
to do.
None
right?
of these things, none of that. Well, none of these things are particularly ethical.
But, boy, I've almost walked away with one of these by accident. When you walk into a restaurant or a bar and your cell phone's ready to die and you ask the bartender if you can borrow one, well, they're suggesting on this list anyway that you walk away with it after you borrow
the phone charger.
The charger,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but if you did use your own, or if let's say you lost yours, you can go in the next day or something and say, hey, listen, I left my cell phone charger here last night. Do you have it? And usually they've got a box of them because people do leave them there. They've got a bunch of them in lost and found, so you can just find one that fits your phone. Yeah. Here's one. Get cheaper parking at parking garages. So if you're visiting a big city somewhere and you're in like a big shopping mall, shopping center or something like that, get a ticket like normal when you enter, but then walk back to the entrance and get another one right before you leave and use that one when you exit. That way you pay for a whole lot less time, or it might even be free, because sometimes the first 15 minutes is free.
You know, authentically, I've been in a parking lot, sometimes at the airport, and lost the parking stub, and they charged, the one airport I was at charged you a fee for losing, so they charged you the maximum amount to park, which is like $35 or something like that.
Right.
I love this idea. Now, if something breaks, Just buy another one, switch it out with the old one, and return it with the new receipt. Apparently, that really works well at chains like Walmart. Again, none of. I feel kind of dirty
We didn't say they were ethical. We did not say that. We're not condoning this kind of behavior. We're just pointing that out, that some people do this to get free things or cheaper things. Don't cancel a trip last minute and lose your deposit. Just reschedule it and pick a date that falls outside their no refund deadline. Then log back into their website the next day and cancel it for a full refund.
You see, I'm all for that because the airlines just stick it to you constantly, right?
I'm all over that one.
Speaking of airports, you can... don't do this.
I wouldn't do this, no.
They're suggesting you go through the airport security faster by traveling with a cane.
Yeah, if you walk with a limp and pretend to have a bit of a trouble with your bag, someone will move you to the priority screening area and you'll skip the whole line.
Oh, my God.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.